I'm glad that I'm your pastor. Thank you so much for allowing me that privilege. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. If you'd do me a favor and turn your Bibles to Ezekiel. It is in the Bible. I trust me. You'll be turning and turning and wondering, where is that? If you need a Bible, Tom will get that for you. I forgot which page it is on, but if you find it in the Blue Bible, you can let me know. 701, I think it is. Yes, you're right. Thank you, Nancy. Page 701, Ezekiel chapter 14. We'll look at that in just a moment. We're going to kind of park there, but consider other verses of Scripture as well. And I did want to show this one first slide here to show you that there is some tie-in with the series on the book of Romans. You're saying, where have we been? Well, this may be the last in the series because of the holidays coming up and Christmas, so we may not get back to it until next year, the first part of the year. And we'll begin the year with the matter of sin. How's that, starting off the year with sin? That's kind of a tough thing to do. But today we're going to talk about Hitchhike Off, where we talked about this matter of when we reject God, we replace God with something else in our life. And we'll get there in just a moment. But the sermon title for today is Don't Settle for Cheap Substitutes. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we ask for wisdom now. We ask for grace. We ask that you would give me the words to say. And may each person be open and responsive and receptive to what you have for us today. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit might work in all of our lives. May we be tender and willing to change. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The big idea for today is this. God wants our love, devotion, and trust. He does not want us to settle for idols, which are nothing but cheap substitutes. He wants our love, devotion, and trust. He wants all of our hearts. And Bob mentioned earlier in his scripture reading and prayer time, he doesn't want just a little part of it, not just one room of our heart, but he wants all of our heart. And that is the challenge before us today. Don't settle for cheap substitutes. Well, I think we understand what substitutes are about. The next picture kind of gives some ideas on some of those substitutes that we may have. When I was growing up, we always had margarine to butter our toast with. How many of you like margarine on your toast? All right, some of you do, okay? How many of you don't like margarine on your toast? Okay, good, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one. But you know what? I didn't know there was another choice until I got a little older, until I tried butter, and then that was the downfall. Oh my, from there it was all downhill. But it was wonderful, the change, and so I don't like to go back at all to that as a substitute. Another thing, when you go to cut a steak or serve ice cream, do you want plastic silverware? Not a good idea. It will break on you. You will have forked tongs around in your food. Not a good substitute. Sometimes you could go off to a thrift store and get a monitor for your new computer. But cheap substitutes sometimes don't work out really well. Again, we want to be wise, we want to be frugal, we want to be economical, but sometimes those cheap substitutes are not good. And then garbage bags. We all know what it's like to get the cheap garbage bags. Take it out, carry it out, and before you know it, it's either dropped, it's dragged, and it's gone. And I appreciate, even though it costs a little more, to go for something that really lasts and holds the items in the bag. Now, again, that's just kind of my crude way of explaining cheap substitutes. But in some areas, cheap substitutes do not matter. But in other areas, it's a disaster. In relationship to God, when it comes to our relationship with God, don't settle for idols that are cheap substitutes. Idols of any kind, you will not have the blessing of God. You will seriously be disappointed, let down, and devastated if you settle for cheap substitutes. I want to just give you a quick review of what we've been talking about in the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, I've got a couple slides that you have seen before. We talked about how God has revealed himself to man. In what ways? How has God revealed himself to us? In creation. In fact, Romans 1 says, you see the created world around you, and we see this could not have just happened. There is a designer behind it. It's amazing. God does not make the world in black and white. He makes it in all of its brilliance of colors and design and intricacy. It's wonderful. We see God's handiwork. We see that there's a designer. God has revealed himself in natural creation, in natural revelation. But he also has revealed himself in the Word of God and through the living Word. So that we see what God is like. We see him in all of his splendor. But what has man done? Man rejects the truth. And we saw that in Romans 1. And he goes on and wants to live his own way. And the next step in that process, when we choose to reject the truth, the next slide says, we replace it with other things, with other gods. We exchange the truth. And that mentions in Romans 1. And we see that all through the Bible. When man rejects God, they replace it with something of their own likeness, of their own control, so that they can control their God and do what they want. And thus, the next step, they live in rebellion. Well, they live in rebellion, committing sins. And Romans 1 lists a whole series of sins that are the result of living on our own with our own gods and going our own way. We see the downward spiral in the next slide. We talked about that. When you reject God, replace him with something else, idols of our life, there is a natural rebellion that leads downward in a cycle of sin that is not good at all and not pleasing to our Savior. In Hong Kong, there were physical gods that you could see on people's shelves. In India, there are millions of gods. But do you know that there are idols of the heart? We've talked about it a little bit before, but I think it bears repeating this morning. In America, do we have idols? We've got American Idol on TV, yeah, but I'm not talking about that. We're talking about idols of the heart. And lest you think that it's not a problem that you may encounter, we're going to look this morning and see how things can become idols in our life, how people can become idols. And we do have a problem. And it's always been a problem, all through the Word of God, beginning in Genesis, all the way through the end of the Bible, we see it. I want you to notice, first of all, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Here we find that Moses is reminding the children of Israel about the importance of putting God first, and God is speaking to his people through Moses. And it says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your might." And then we see that repeated again in the New Testament, in Mark chapter 12, that was read for us earlier. And he ties this passage in Deuteronomy with the passage in Mark, in dealing with the Lord there. And it says, the most important is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." If it was just love God, we can all say, yes, I love God. But when we add that term, all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your strength, that makes it difficult. And so we're going to talk about this matter of the challenge of with all of our hearts, with all of our love, devotion, and trust. If you've got your Bibles open, follow along as I read Ezekiel chapter 14. Normally, we don't dive into Ezekiel. But right here, it reveals to us that the nation of Israel had some real problems with idol worship. Notice, follow along as I read verses 1 through 8 of Ezekiel. And notice the number of times the word idols appears. "Then certain of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me, And the word of the Lord came to me. This is Ezekiel writing. Son of man, referring to Ezekiel, these men have taken their idols into their hearts and set the stumbling block of their iniquity before their faces. Should I indeed let myself be consulted by them? Therefore, speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, any one of the house of Israel who takes his idols into his heart and sets the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and yet comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him as he comes with the multitude of his idols, that I may lay hold of the hearts of the house of Israel who are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent and turn away from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For any one of the house of Israel or of the strangers who sojourn in Israel who separates himself from me, taking his idols into his heart and putting the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and yet comes to a prophet to consult me through him, I, the Lord, will answer him myself. And I will set my face against that man. We see here, first of all, as the writer Ezekiel is telling us, he's saying, first of all, he's talking about a condemnation of idolatry in verses 1 through 5. Let me just set the stage for you. Some elders who were in exile, in other words, the nation of Israel was off in exile in another land, among another people who didn't worship God. They were mistreated. They were not allowed to publicly profess God and to worship publicly, so it was more of a private. And so here we find some elders of the people that were in exile came to Ezekiel to hear a word from God. In other words, they came and they sat around and said, tell us a word from God. How much longer will we be in captivity? What is the state of Jerusalem? What is our future? And they seemed to be so holy and so in tune with what, or wanted to be in tune with what God was doing in their lives, they came to Ezekiel, tell us a word from God. And so Ezekiel said, all right, you want a word from God? You've got a problem. You have idols in your heart. In fact, over and over we see that, idols of your heart. I think three or four times we see that, the verbiage there. You have a multitude of idols in your heart. They had always had problems with wanting to go after the idols of the gods around them. And God kept telling them and reminding them that, no, I am one God. I'm the only God. Look to me. Idols of the heart. John Calvin said, the heart is a factory of idols. Well, what does that mean, idols of the heart? Heart idol, I've defined in this way. Anything or anyone that begins to capture our hearts, minds, and affections more than God is an idol. It's living on substitutes. It's exchanging the one true living God for a counterfeit. Simply put, idols are anything or anyone more important to you than God. Now, does that get close to home now? I don't have an idol in my shelf at home that's made, formed, that I could worship. But I, along with you, we all have problems with idols in the heart. Anything that would replace or take the place of God. An idol is anything in our lives that occupies the place that should be occupied by God alone. Idolatry is the ultimate expression of unfaithfulness to God. It's really false worship. And we're going to consider some examples of that in just a little bit to see how we can replace God with things in our life. But here, we see these elders who looked so good on the outside and looked so spiritual by coming to Ezekiel. They came with divided hearts. They want to know about God, but all the time they have rottenness in their heart. the outside looked good. It kind of reminds you of the Pharisees, doesn't it, of the New Testament? He say he called the Pharisees whitewashed sepulchers. There is all this outward facade, but inside they were rotten. In fact, in the book of Ezekiel, he refers to these idols that are in the heart as dung pellets. Now, that's a pretty vivid description. Refuge in your heart. He's warning the people. He says, you've got to get right with God. This warning is not an isolated one. It's found all through the Word of God. So if you'll allow me to pause for just a moment and highlight the times when we see throughout the Word of God, not everyone, but several. In the Ten Commandments, what were the first and second commandments? Absolutely. You shall have no other, love the Lord your God, and you shall have no other gods before me. The second commandment, you shall have no other graven images. In other words, don't bow down to anything or serve anything else. He's a jealous God. Ezekiel 6:9 says, how I, God, have been hurt by your adulterous hearts that have turned away from me, and your eyes have played the harlot after your idols. Jeremiah chapter 2, has a nation changed its gods, which are not really gods? But my people have changed their glory for what does not profit. Be astonished, O heavens, at this. Be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord. For my people have committed evil. Jonah chapter 2, verse 8. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Psalm chapter 24. Psalm 106, verse 36 says, they served their idols, which became a snare to them. Over and over again, we find this constant repetition. And then we find also prophets that made fun of those that were worshiping other gods. You remember Elijah on Mount Carmel? When he set up two altars and he told the people to call upon their God to send fire from heaven. And what did he say when their God did not respond? Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he's relieving himself. Maybe he's gone. You know, where is he? They were cutting themselves and the blood was flowing. And he says, that is a ridiculous thing. We find others that reminded them of the powerlessness of their gods, the deceptiveness, the perishable nature of their gods. But you know, folks, that's not just an Old Testament concept. It's in the New Testament. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, therefore, my beloved, he's talking to believers, flee from idolatry. 1 Thessalonians 1:9, you turn to God from idols to serve a living and true God. And 1 John 5:21, my children, guard yourself from idols. So we see it's a theme throughout the Word of God. So there must be a problem in our lives that we're always wanting to go after the things of this world. There's such an attraction, but it causes great harm. Well, we see, first of all, they had idols in their hearts. Second, in this particular chapter, we find their idols led them to further sin. It says, their idols in their hearts and set the stumbling block of their iniquity before their faces. They were stumbling over their idols, and it was causing them to live a life of debauchery, a life totally separate from what God wanted. Their idols kept them living foolishly and stepping into sin. I came across this phrase here, and I don't know who wrote it, but it says this, cherishing sin in our hearts will lead to practicing sin in your life. And that is so true. When we replace God and find our own God and make our own God, which may be even ourselves, we find that it affects itself by a life of sin. Whatever rules your heart will influence your actions and your choices. The essence of idolatry is taking a good thing and turning it into a God thing. When that happens, it becomes a bad thing that brings about painful circumstances. Whatever or whoever we make our idols will control our behavior, our ambition, our speech, our use of time, and will affect the way that we relate to one another. Idolatry is fundamentally, at its root, law-breaking. All sins are simply the fruit of which idolatry is the root, something other than God controlling me. Well, we see that there was idols in their heart. Secondly, it led them to further sin. And third, their idols separated them from God. Notice it says, estranged or separated. Verse 5. Notice what it says. That I may lay hold of the hearts of the house of Israel, who are all estranged or separated from me through their idols. They're separate from me. Their idols have made them strangers before me. When God refers to idolatry, many times He associates it with adultery. Adultery is betrayal. Adultery is giving our affections to someone else. When you give your love to another god, then you have betrayed and forsaken and adulterated yourself before God. What captures your love and what is your driving passion in life? That is your God. Well, let's get a little bit more practical here. We've kind of brought this up before, but I think, again, it bears bringing up again. Let me go ahead and bring it up here. There is a danger with idolatry, okay? The danger of idolatry is extremely subtle. When we can take what were very good things and make them our gods. In a general sense, idolatry is the paying of divine honors to any created thing, Unger's Bible Dictionary says. In practical terms, idolatry takes place when we put anything in the place of God in our lives. Anything we love more than God becomes an idol. And so as we see this term, idols of the heart, I want to just show you how practical that can be. Who do you love? Who sits on the throne of your life? Does God? If we are loving God with all of our heart, He's sitting on the throne of our heart. He is in control. He is ruling. But when we replace it with anything, people, position, things, and put God off to the side, those have become idols of our heart. Any replacement, things or people, can become idols of our heart. Could this become an idol of our heart? Yeah. If everything that we do, every thought we have, goes toward that, it can become an idol. Could a child be an idol in our heart? Where everything we do focuses around them, and we want to please them to the point where we're willing to sacrifice and even give up going to church, give up serving God like we should, because we want everything to be done for that child. That is a danger. A friend, the same thing, could become an idol. Could our mate or boyfriend or girlfriend be an idol in our life? Yes. Anything, anyone who takes the place of God in our life, willing to compromise, willing to do anything, putting God off to the side to make that relationship work, it can become an idol. A hobby. Oh, a hobby. We all have hobbies. I only gave this as an illustration. So I don't particularly like fishing, but I know some of you do. So I can make it, you know, an idol because it's not my problem. No, no. But any hobby can become an idol in our hearts. Our job, that every bit of our energy and life goes to that job, it could become an idol. Vacations. Boy, we're going to do everything we can. We're going to work 3-4 jobs. We're going to make it work just to get money to go on vacation. Just to do it. Sports. Oops. Now we're getting a little bit close to home, right? Ooh. You know. So I'll move on quickly because, you know, this is, no. But it shows any of these things can become an idol in our life. Money, of course. Making money, if that's all we're striving for. Whoops. I thought this was an interesting picture that I came across on the internet. You know, we think of the golden calf in the Old Testament, but this kind of shows that family, culture, wanting to please, approval of others can become an idol in our life. Success, if we'll do anything for success. Came across another one. I thought this was very good too, showing the challenges, wanting power, position, relationships, money, health, whatever, could become idols of the heart. Are you still with me? Are you still all right? Okay. But I want you to know, it's not something that you have a problem with. It's something that we all have problems. And the passage before us in Ezekiel was a reminder that the leaders had a problem. He said, you've got a problem. You've got idols in your heart. And so take care of that first before you want to hear from God. Because if that is what's going on in your heart, don't expect God to be blessing. Don't expect God to be revealing His plan for your life if you've got sin in your life. John Calvin, as I mentioned earlier, the human heart is a factory of idols. Every one of us is from his mother's womb, experts in inventing idols. Idols of the heart. What do you want so bad that you're willing to push God away to get it? That really is a revelation of what may be going on in our hearts. What are you willing to love in place of God? Who or what are you willing to let control your life? These are very revealing questions. And what does Ezekiel say through God to these people? Notice what it says in verse 6. Therefore say to the house of Israel, God says through Ezekiel, thus says the Lord God, repent and turn away from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. Last week we talked about that. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It begins with the mind. It begins with acknowledging what is true about our idols. In other words, God, I recognize that this thing has become my all-consuming passion. Please forgive me. I acknowledge it and I confess it to you. Saying the same thing that God says about it. It's sin. It's wrong, and I have sinned against you. It involves the emotions. There's sorrow over that. There's mourning. There's grieving, saying, God, I am sorry that I have shamed your name by living a life filled with idols. And then it involves the will, a choice to turn away from that sin in our life. So as we wrap it back up again and come back full circle, the big idea is this. God wants our love, devotion, and trust. He doesn't want us to settle for idols, which are nothing but cheap substitutes. Nothing but plastic forks trying to dig into a steak. It will be a disaster. Love God. Put God as the rightful owner, ruler, supreme in your life. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. If God is truly God, and you claim to be a follower of His and not a fan, then follow Him. That is the challenge for all of us. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, it'd be easy to point our finger at someone else for the way they're living and say, hey, they don't have their priorities right. But Father, we don't have to go very far. We can just look within our hearts and find that we have many things that take the place of You in our lives. And we ask for Your forgiveness. Forgive us for putting these idols there. Forgiving us for living with all the passion and enthusiasm and joy for other things rather than You. We are to worship You. You're to be the one that we bring glory to. You're to be our focus, our aim. You're to be the love of our life. So we ask You, Lord, to direct our steps, convict us where we go astray. May we be quick to repent, quick quick to come back and say, Lord, forgive me, but use me, cleanse me, purify me, change me. May that be our heart's desire, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.